This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast. I am just thrilled today to be joined by Nancy Temple, one of our regular guests. Nancy is a leading national lawyer. She's a Harvard-trained lawyer. She's with her own firm that she founded that has a great team, Canton Temple, that she co-founded. She's going to talk to us today. She's both a business person and, of course, a mom, and has a lot of roles in life. She's going to talk to us today about three thoughts she has on successfully running and building a business. And she's a lawyer, but they run a law practice, and she sees a lot of business people, so we're going to get her thoughts on that today. Nancy, first take a moment to introduce yourself, then I'll tee you up with the question of the day.
Sure. Nice to talk to you today, Scott. My name's Nancy Temple. I'm a lawyer, like Scott mentioned. We have a small boutique law firm that I helped found with my partner, Mitch Catton, 12 years ago. We have about 10 lawyers here in Chicago, and we do a variety of different types of legal work and litigation. And as Scott mentioned, I also have three school-age boys that are pretty active as well.
Well, fantastic. Talk to us for a moment about what you see in sort of business, three thoughts on building or operating a successful business.
So the first thing I think that's really important as a business leader is to listen. I have to take time to listen to my constituents. They can be my clients about what sort of services and practice, best practices they want to see from their service provider. I have to listen to my partners about input from them about how to move the firm and the business forward and meet their needs. And then I have to listen to my staff about what works for them and how to help them do their job as best they can. So I try to focus on listening to those constituents so I can be responsive to those expressed needs of all the different constituents.
And how do you then filter through those constituents to, with you and your team, to sort of then move forward as a firm or as a business?
You know, it's a challenge because I find that most of my time on a daily basis is taken up by managing those constituents and trying to figure out how to meet those needs. So to be more efficient, I am constantly reminding myself to try to delegate to get some of these constituents to take things on. So for example, my partners have, say it'd be great if we could do this or that. I try to get them to participate or suggest a solution to move forward rather than saying, okay, yes, I will go do that now myself, or vice versa with the staff to figure out if they need something or have a great idea, I try to get them involved in the solution to move forward. So that that's what I'm constantly trying to make sure that I'm doing a really good job with that. For my own personal self, I find that finding an outlet as a business leader outside of my business where I can talk to other business leaders, whether it's lawyers who are managing partners of their Chicago offices or non-lawyers, I get ideas from them. I can bounce ideas more freely off of them. I get suggestions for solutions to problems, and I get inspired. So that's part of the reason why I like to listen to your podcast, actually, Scott, because I get all sorts of great ideas from other business leaders. And I'm not afraid to borrow from people who are smarter than I am.
But this concept of being inspired, being motivated, being engaged, this is part of the social fabric and the social world we live in, is that touching and talking to others, whether you get a great or not idea or not, it's almost binary. It either moves your motivation in the right direction or the wrong direction. And if talking to the right people moves in the right direction, well, that energy is so important to success and happiness. So important, even whether you get a great idea or not, isn't it?
That's true. And that's why one of the things as a business leader, I feel that is a huge priority for me, even in a very small business, is I'm always looking for new talent. Even though I don't have a particular, quote, opening, if I run across really good talent, I try to recruit that good talent and find a spot for that talent in my organization. And I learned that actually from one of my clients that I had been trying to get this client for years. And after years of cultivating that relationship, I got a phone call to take over that client, all of that client's litigation. But I had learned from the CEO of that client that he had told me once, if you run across good talent, hire it. And even if you don't know what that talent is going to do, and to give you an example, my background and expertise primarily as a lawyer is commercial litigation, doing trials, appeals, representing people in court, resolving those cases. I traditionally have not done real estate transactions or deals or corporate law in that regard. But in my career, somebody offered me a job as a transactional attorney. I said, but I don't have experience. They said, but you're talented and it doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. So ever since then, I have really focused on whoever I meet if that's a good talent, and I run across that person, I try to recruit that person, even if I don't have particular financial room in my budget at the time or particular need, because good talent will develop and improve your organization and work will flow to that person.
And talk about this for a moment. You've done this magnificent job when I watch what you've done, I view it as almost like a sports team general manager who's assembled these different talents, very talented people that you worked with at one time at Sidley, people that went to Harvard Law School with you. I've seen you develop this tremendous group of talented people that are all looking for the right thing to do with their careers at the right time and be great lawyers. Talk about that openness towards seeing talent and saying, we'd like that talent as part of our team and we could figure out how to make it work, and how important it is to have those great people in place. And I've seen a bunch of them over time that you've hired and have come together with you and Mitch and grown a great firm. And it's really been fascinating to watch that open-mindedness to bringing in great talent from different parts that you know, that you've seen, that you've connected with. How important is that open-mindedness to bringing in talent?
Well, half the time I was joking when I said to some of my former partners at Sidley Austin, hey, you should come join me. We got an open office for you. And so I was delighted when people took me up on the offer at different points in time. And, I do try to surround myself with people who are smarter than I am and better than I am, so that I can make sure that our clients' needs are well served. So I've been lucky in that regard. But I remember starting off my career at a big law firm, and you may have experienced this. Maybe it's more in the litigation area, but people would be working on a big case and it would settle, and then they'd be worried about what am I going to do next. And over time, and there have been ebbs and flows in litigation and practices in particular over the years, when there's a recession or things occur where there's not so much work at different points in time. But work flows to the good talent. And so over time, I always saw that the good lawyers always had enough work to do no matter what. Even if you didn't know what case you're going to be working on next year, there was work that came up and people kept busy.
Isn't this a fascinating thing that great lawyers find ways to stay busy and people find ways to get them work, people that get things done, that please clients, do stuff. They end up staying busy, don't they?
I think that's right. In the small firm context, one of my mentors who has his own firm told me once that when he started his firm, they had enough work to keep themselves busy 45 days out. And that's really, in a small firm, that's your horizon as compared to a larger firm. And he said 35, 40 years later, we have enough work to keep ourselves busy 45 days out. So you don't know where it's going to come from, or exactly what source of the business or what the issues are going to be. But if you're a good lawyer, you just have to have the faith that it's going to flow. And all you have to focus on is doing a really good job for the existing clients on the existing matters right in front of you. And usually it does flow after that. So
it really is an amazing thing. And it's so different than these long-term subscription businesses or long-term annualized businesses where you book business and you got it for a year. Here as a lawyer, as a small business person, as a consultant, unless you're in these big, big, huge consulting firms or in these huge cases, you know, you're constantly sort of moving and developing and having a portfolio of cases. So if one slows down, another one's busy or whatever it is. In any event, Nancy, you've done a magnificent job as a lawyer, and in this case also as a business person and business leader. You and Mitch Captain have done a magnificent job. I want to thank you for joining us again today on the Becker Business Podcast. You're just terrific.
Thanks, Scott.